Our Lord has spoken to us in His Word, letting us know that He loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, He draws us unto Himself. And so, He will love us still. In spite of us, He will love us still. The scripture on the bulletin cover of today's bulletin is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, which reads this way: Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. What a glorious truth have revealed to us, that God looks down upon us in Christ, sees us there as His beloved children. We call Him Father. What an endearing term. He calls us His sons, His daughters. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've been going through a series of messages proving through God's holy word that God's salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. Ungodly, carnal, sinful men and women contribute absolutely nothing to our eternal life, eternal salvation through Christ our Savior. And I introduce to you these 6 points, all beginning with the letter P, taking you into God's holy word to prove these gospel truths. Salvation was purposed by God before time began. We spent some time on that subject, going right into the scriptures and showing that God did purpose our salvation. And even showing you and me, and what a wonderful truth to encourage us to trust our Lord, revealing to us that what He has purposed, He will also perform.
Amen.
Salvation was pictured. That was our second point that we looked at last week. Pictured by God all through the Old Testament. And we took one picture and went into Hebrews to show that the great high priest over Israel, who went into the holiest of holies once a year, not without blood, and sprinkled that on the mercy seat, was a picture of Jesus Christ after He laid down His life for His sheep and was resurrected. He ascended to glory, entering into that holy place, the Shekinah glory, not without blood, to present Himself there in the presence of God for us. This morning, we want to look at the third point. God purchased salvation for a particular people when He suffered and bled and died on that cross 2,000 years ago. Brethren, we're the redeemed of the Lord. He bought us back. That's what the word redeemed means. He bought us back. We belong to Him by virtue of a divine promise made by God the Father to God the Son way back before time began, by a divine purchase, which our Lord Jesus, by the sacrifice of Himself, paid to God the Father when He said, "It is finished, it was done." And that's what we want to look at this morning. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. Let me show you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul, writing under divine inspiration, said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we have, in many other places as well, right here before us, that God bought us. We read in the book of Acts, Paul talking to some preachers from Ephesus, where he was leaving, and he knew they would see his face no more, and he was encouraging them to feed the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. And he said, feed the sheep which God hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased us. That was God in a human body who bled and died for his people, making sure that their sins would be moved from God's sight forever. Removed forever. And we bear them no more. Turn to the 13th chapter of Acts, if you will, please. After Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of God just translated Philip right from the presence of that Ethiopian eunuch over to a place called Azotus. And the eunuch didn't see him anymore. And you know, it didn't seem to bother him, because he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing, the Bible says. He didn't see Philip, but he saw Jesus Christ through the eye of God-given faith. He saw Jesus Christ as his sovereign creator. He saw Jesus Christ as his substitute, paying his sin debt in full, there at Calvary, which just had happened not long before that. He saw Jesus Christ as the resurrected God-man on his throne in glory. And he was given full assurance by God himself that nothing could separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder he went on his way rejoicing. And speaking for myself, that's what happened to me. And I'm still rejoicing, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
We have something to rejoice about.
Amen.
We belong to the true and living God, purchased by his own precious blood. Now here in Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 38, down through verse 41, we read where God himself gives a message to his preacher to preach. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, the God-man, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from... You want to read it out loud? All things. All things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know where that Ethiopian eunuch had just come from when Philip joined his chariot on the Ethiopian eunuch's way back home? He had just come from Jerusalem. He was a Jewish proselyte. He had joined himself with those Jews who were still under the law. And he was still scratching his head. And when he was reading the scripture from Isaiah 53, Peter was told by God to join himself to that chariot. And when he started running alongside of him, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but God's protecting hand was upon Philip, because those men of authority did not travel without guards who were supposed to defend them. But God restrained those guards. He said, Philip said, do you understand what you read? He was in Isaiah 53. He said, how can I except some man would guide me? And when Philip took the very scripture that he was reading and preached Jesus Christ to him, God delivered him from that law that he was trusting in. And that's what he does with all of us.
That's right.
Delivers us from the darkness we're in. From false churches we might have aligned ourselves with. From Satan. From sin. The name of our Lord Jesus is the Deliverer, and he's the only one who can deliver us.
Amen.
But he uses the gospel, and he uses instruments like Philip and others, God's preachers, that he sends. And when we hear this, that Jesus Christ has justified us from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses, then we're delivered from any false hope we might have had, whether it's the law of Moses or any other false doctrine that we've been under. And if we've never darkened the door of a church, we still have a false hope in ourselves, thinking our good's going to outweigh our bad. And that just ain't going to happen, as they say in the vernacular. Because there's no good in us. The Word of God teaches that. Now, because God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart, now we have some good in us, but it's not us, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, we are justified from all things. And all we have to do is read the scriptures and see who it is that justified us. God justified us. We read that in Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? It is God that justifieth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If we can't rejoice in that, there's something wrong.
Yes.
But I have never met a child of God yet that doesn't rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for him or her. Beware, it says in verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And God's preachers declare the truth of Christ, that he himself purged our sins from God's sight forever, and God remembers them against us no more. But the reason people won't believe it when we do preach it is because believing is a work of God.
That's right.
God has to make the preaching of his gospel effectual. And when he does, we will not stand for anything but the true gospel of God's sovereign grace through the merits of Christ alone.
Amen.
Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you will, please. Brethren, God tells us in his holy word that he has found himself a ransom. We read that in the book of Job. Jesus Christ paid the ransom price in full to his heavenly Father. We've sinned against God, and a price had to be paid for our sins, and that ransom price was paid by Jesus Christ, and he paid that ransom price to God the Father, and God the Father accepted that, and when he did, he accepted all of those for whom Christ died. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. Writing under divine inspiration, Paul said that God purchased us with his own blood. And so if God has purchased us, he most certainly will have us. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop God from having those that he purchased? Our Lord Jesus said this to his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we read in Acts 13 where God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, who should be saved? His elect. His chosen people. Those Jesus Christ laid down his life for. Those he purchased with his own blood. They were promised. We were promised, God's elect were promised to Jesus Christ by God the Father before this world was created. I'm not making that up. Paul, writing to Titus, talked about the hope of eternal life which God promised before the world began. Well, who did he promise it to? I wasn't there. You weren't there. Nobody was there. The angels hadn't even been created. Our Father in heaven promised us to his darling Son back in old eternity, conditional upon what Jesus Christ would do for us. It's called unconditional election. That is, on our part. But it was conditional upon what Jesus Christ would do, and he did it all. He cannot fail. Everything that was needed to take us all the way from that horrible, slimy, filthy pit that he found us in, all the way to glory, is found in Christ and only in Christ. And we heard from Brother John this morning in his Sunday school lesson that Jesus Christ saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. I'm satisfied with what my Savior did for me, aren't you? I'm satisfied that I've been made accepted in him. Now, there are many con artists in this world that have evil ways of taking our money and withholding that which we paid for from us and getting away with it. But nobody's going to con God. If he paid the ransom price in full for our sins, he's going to have us.
That's right.
And nobody's going to stop him. Nobody. All the evil forces of darkness and all ungodly men and women gathering together in one force against God. One little word from our Lord Jesus would take care of all of them. That's all he has to do. And when he says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you," that doesn't mean he didn't know them as far as who they are. It's the same word that's used when we read where the angel told Joseph not to fear to take Mary to be his wife. And he took her as his wife, but didn't, he knew her not until after the firstborn came into this world, her firstborn. He knew her not. He didn't know her intimately. So when our Lord Jesus says to those wicked on the day of judgment, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you," that means he never had any intimate relation with them. He didn't love them. But he loves somebody. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. He loves a particular people so much that God sent his Son to purchase us with his own precious blood. Now you think about that for a moment. Herein is love, John writes in 1 John. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The sin atoning sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus Christ knew just exactly what was before him. But he still went. What love. He knew that he was going to suffer the unmitigated wrath of God in our room in our stead. And I believe that's what he was crying out for in the garden when his great drops of blood were coming from his forehead. "Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me." He knew he was going to be made sin for his people. He knew he was going to suffer the wrath of God. He knew his Father was going to turn his back on him That's what made him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that, and yet he still went. And when he prayed, if it be possible, remove this cup from me, he also prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What love. What love. And how can we possibly think that such a love that God has for his people could ever possibly die by something we do in this life? I was just talking with Brother John earlier about this very truth. If we could, and we can't, but if we could cease from sinning and please God with our every movement, our every thought, our every word, our every deed, it would not add one stitch of righteousness to the robe God has put upon us. We're robed with the righteousness of Christ. And it would not change God's love for us one bit. He loves us. And if we could be as perfect as Christ, and we are in his sight, but in our state as well as our stand, it would not improve upon the love of God. And if we were as sinful as the most sinful man on this earth, and that's the way I feel about myself, it still wouldn't change God's love for us, not one iota. Because God sees us in his darling Son right now, as holy as Jesus Christ himself, who's seated on his throne in heaven, as perfect as Jesus Christ is, who is seated on his throne in heaven. Let me show you. Here in Hebrews 10, and I'll tell you what Todd Nybert said about this passage. Pastor Todd Nybert said, when I was talking to him about this some years ago, he said, I've almost worn that passage of Scripture out. And I know what he meant. He's referred to it so many times, it feels like he probably wore it out, but you can't wear this out. And I've preached on it several times, referred you to it more times than I can count. And I still love it, and I still love to point you to it. Here in verse 9 of Hebrews 10, we read this concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Then said he, lo, and he's speaking to his heavenly Father. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now catch this. By the which will, by God's will he came to do, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That word sanctified means made holy. It also means to set apart, but it means to make holy. Set apart as something holy for God himself. And Jesus Christ sanctified his people, made us holy when he offered himself to God for the sins of his people. That's why we read in Hebrews 1:3 that he purged our sins. He purged them by himself. Look down at verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So he not only made us holy, he made us perfect. I was talking with Russ about this just last Friday night, I think it was. Can you get any more sanctified than what we are in Christ? Can we be any more perfect than what we are in Christ? And Paul, writing under divine inspiration, tells us in the book of Colossians that we're complete in Jesus Christ. Can we become any more complete than what we already are? Now I realize that this old body has to lay down and go back to the dust from whence it came. I realize that. We have to be delivered from this body of death. But you know what God has created in us? His Son. That's the new heart. We have Christ dwelling in us. The hope of glory. And he's perfect. He's holy. He's complete. And if we're in Him, we're holy, we're perfect, and we're complete in Jesus Christ. And that's the way God the Father sees us. And that's the way we should look at ourselves. Not the sinful part of us. Paul said, when I sin, it's sin in me. Not me, not the new man. It's sin in me. He knew he was a wretched man. He knew that. And we know that. But brethren, what love. What love God has bestowed upon us that He not only sent His Son to take care of our sin debt, to pay the ransom price in full. He sent His Son into our hearts, the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, to reveal these wonderful truths to us so that we'll give God all the glory for this unspeakable gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. And brethren, when we walk through this life, I encourage all of us. I've got three fingers pointing right back at myself. Hate sin. Hate sin. Hate it as much as you possibly can hate it. And the Holy Spirit of Christ dwelling in us, hate sin. Hate sin. Hate sin. Hate it. Run from it. Get it out of your system as much as you possibly can. We won't be able to. Not perfectly until God delivers us from this body of death. But we can certainly walk as children of light. We're praying for God to help us to overcome the desire to sin. Overcome the fleshly desires of this life. To overcome them. And the Word of God tells us those things that are lovely, of good report. Those things we need to think on. And that helps us. God helps us when we turn our eye of faith to Jesus Christ and cry out for help in time of need. And I don't have any idea if any of us can ever go through this life without a time of need. Can you? Can you? I can't. Without Jesus Christ, I can't do anything. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I want to bring this morning's message to a close by reading this article by Pastor Don Fortner on the inside back page. He titled this article, "We Belong to God." And he writes, "It is true that all people belong to God as creatures to their Creator, as property to its owner, as subjects to their ruler. All things and all people were made by God and for God, and all are ruled by God's sovereign will. This is God's right as the absolute sovereign of all His creatures. But we who believe belong to God as a child belongs to its father, as a wife to her husband, as a willing bond slave to his master. Ours is an intimate, loving family relationship with the eternal God. We belong to God by the sovereign purpose of His grace. In eternity, God said, 'I will be their God and they shall be my people.' Were it not for God's electing grace, no one would ever be saved. Indeed, were it not for God's election and determination to save some, the world would never have been created. We belong to God because He chose us as His own. We are the Lord's by the special purchase of His Son. Ye are bought with a price,' Paul said. It is not expected that the ungodly and unbelieving should seek the honor of Christ. They were not redeemed by Him. But it is most reasonable that we should willingly give ourselves to the service of our Savior's glory. He brought us out from under the curse of the law. Again, we belong to our God by the saving power of His Spirit. We were lost, helpless, depraved, and spiritually dead, but the Spirit of God came to us and called us to life. He created faith in our hearts and brought us to Christ by His sovereign, irresistible power and grace. He made us willing, voluntary bondslaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we belong to God by the solemn profession of our faith. Believers following their Lord in baptism publicly declare to all the world their faith in and heart allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is the believer's obedient public confession of faith. It identifies him as one who belongs to God. Since we belong to God, it is only reasonable that we should glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. End of quote. Brethren, listen to me. We're God's purchased possession, bought with a price, purchased with the precious blood of God Himself, Jesus Christ our Savior. And that just keeps us in perpetual awe of God's amazing grace bestowed upon us because of Christ our Savior. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. And He looks upon us not only as His children purchased with His own blood, but He looks upon His purchased possession with delight. I can't explain that. How God could possibly delight in me. But I've got to get that me out of the way and look to Christ in me. And that's what God sees. He sees us in His Son, and He sees His Son in us. And He delights in Jesus Christ, who purchased us with His own precious blood. That song you picked out for Sunday school, "I am His and He is mine," is a special song that we should not sing without some understanding of why we belong to God. We belong to Him by virtue of a divine promise, a divine payment, a divine power, for a divine purpose, to give Him all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Brother John, if you will, please.